love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man. Luro. And Marvel 2K.
I have the longest win streak in the division. Nope, you got beat. Oh yeah, by who? Fighting out of the blue corner, weighing in at 121,000 square miles, the state of New Mexico!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversations. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Marvel2K and Luro. Luro, how are you doing tonight?
Porcupine, 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 racetrack.
Look at those porcupines go.
What was that about?
It was one of the greatest skits from a sketch comedy show ever.
Called The State.
Okay. This is amazing.
Had a bunch of the Reno 911 people.
They legit, like, there's this thing they do before where they talk about how much money it costs and how MTV didn't want them to do it. That was a shoot. They legit blew their entire budget on that skit that MTV did not want them to do.
It was funny, but it wasn't nearly as funny. You consider all the money that went into that.
But with the build up to it where he explains it, it becomes funnier. Like, they spent all that money.
And they weren't supposed to.
That's what made it so funny.
And Marvel 2K, how are you doing today? Marvel?
What's all that wind?
Huh?
You're all that wind.
That's probably Luro.
I'm outside.
He's outside smoking. Nature. Yes. Answer the question. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
All right. Let's go into news now. Again, as always, if you want access to all these news stories, you want to get ahead of us doing news on the show, check out our Facebook at facebook.com/comicconversations. All right, let's start with our first news story, the prequel comic for The Dark Knight.
Yeah, they announced they're doing a prequel, mm-hmm. which is only notable because that means this is going to sell well.
But it's also being done by Frank Miller, so who's to say if it's going to be any good?
Well, it's going to be Miller and Azzarello. It's the same people doing the regular series. Mm. We're going to read it. That's something new to read.
Yes, unfortunately,
I don't know why they need a prequel. Isn't the prequel Dark Knight Strikes Back or whatever it was called?
I luckily never read it, so.
Yeah, it's horrible. But the prequel, you would think, would be the two series in the same run that came before it.
You would think.
Guess we're doing another time gap. Batman must be 900 years old by this point. Because if we keep skipping ahead in time, he ain't getting younger.
Yes.
So he's 29 years old anyways.
Exactly.
No, he was old in Dark Knight. He was like 60.
He was an old man, dude.
Yeah, he was like Rocky. In Rocky Balboa.
Great film, by the way.
Yeah.
And while not comic news, our next news story is now that I think about it, by the time this show goes up, it will already be up because that's the way I guess Coughlin figured it out. But check out our my show with Dazza where we talk all things British wrestling, including which Big Daddy talk.
Big Daddy?
Yeah!
Most important figure in British wrestling.
Including, but not limited to, Big Daddy.
Do you talk about Adrian Street at all?
I don't know. See, we're recording this on Saturday night, and usually I do that show with Dazza Sunday morning, so.
Well, he worked in America, so I don't know if he counts.
What's that?
He worked in America, so I don't know if it counts.
Big Daddy?
No, Adrian Street.
Oh. Oh, that's right, yeah. I don't know. I guess you'll have to wait. Find out.
He's great. You should look him up on YouTube. He did the gay gimmick.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of the gimmick as well as the man.
He's great.
Yeah. In fact, yes, very much so.
All right. Nothing to do with comics, but
no. But it's you know, it's in within the half-guarded family. So by all means, check that out.
It's Dazza. So.
Oh yeah. Speaking of the half-guarded family, check out Coughlin's where he rips on Secret Wars. He did a recent 5-star radio where he absolutely tears Secret Wars, a new one.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
He puts over the main series, but he pretty much ripped into all the tie-ins.
Oh, they weren't all bad.
Most of them were pretty bad, though.
Well, only because there were so many.
A lot of them seemed pointless.
I remember the good ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next news story. and a sequel to Ant-Man, which I posted on the Facebook. I guess it wasn't such a bomb after all. And I think
no one said it was a bomb. I didn't.
Yeah, the movie's made over $400 million.
Yeah,
it's made like 100.
But like for like a Marvel movie, it
Thor,
underperformed.
It did like Thor.
Yeah, it did like Thor.
Yeah, which is also getting a sequel. So
I know, but for the Marvel movie, that's a little bit underperforming.
The first Captain America, like it did on par with what most of these. See, people focus on like Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, and they ignore that most of these movies don't make $1 billion.
No, they don't.
So, I mean, it made money. It was a success. It's not a shock. It's getting a sequel.
Yeah, people are speculating already that it's going to be a heavy Ant-Man and Wasp movie, but
well, it is. It's Ant-Man and the Wasp. That's what it's called.
Is it really? I thought that was just some working title people are sort of playing with.
Pretty sure that's what it was. Unless, I don't know. I read some.
I have to imagine it'd be billed as Ant-Man 2, but it would also feature.
Yeah,
the
it'll have a subtitle.
Yeah. Okay, next news story. The mainline Superman is back, right?
By the way, since we're still on that, movie stuff, they bumped up Black Panther due to this, and they added 3 new films for 2020 that are Marvel related.
But they haven't told us what they are.
Yeah.
They're unannounced Marvel movies. Yeah, but as you said back in the comics, DC announced that Superman, the classic Superman, the real Superman, has apparently been in the New 52 since the New 52 started. So he is apparently going to be a character in the DCU going forward.
So what does this mean for the New 52 Superman then? The one that's, I guess, now depowered.
He's still going to be in comics as far as we know. Okay, but they're like we read a Justice League book, but it's not in continuity.
No, and then I read the in continuity one, and they deal with, even that book specifically, it deals with a regular Superman and the original Batman, not the Bat Bunny one.
Yeah, so all these books are all weird, but original Superman is back. So, and is this going to get me to read DC? No, because it's not that I want the original versions of the characters back. It's that I want the original DC universe back.
Yeah, good luck with that. I wouldn't hold your breath on that one.
I won't, but maybe it's, you know, they're working towards something. It was interesting enough to me that I considered, oh, I might read a Superman book. I'm not going to, but it made me pause and think about doing it. So, a positive move, I think.
Okay, and while not, I don't know if this is breaking news, but one of you guys linked, I think it was on the Batman story. I'm getting a background image for a new Hercules series for November.
Oh, actually, yeah, I forgot all about that. It didn't seem important enough for me to mention. But yeah, that's actually been known for a while, I think.
Oh, okay. It's news to me, so I just thought I'd bring it up right here.
Yeah.
The writer is Abnett, and the writer is Ross.
You just said the writer twice.
Did I?
No, he said Abnett and Ross.
Yeah.
He said the writer is Abnett.
And the artist is Ross.
Ross who? Alex Ross?
I don't know. No, I'm sure it's not Alex Ross, but I tried clicking on the thing and it didn't give me any information, but they have like a thing underneath where it says Hercules number one, and they just have the last name for the two people involved.
No, the one creative. I'm sure that's new is the new Iron Fist and Luke Cage book that's coming out. That one actually is new.
Okay, what else do we have here? Superman, we got that. Okay, a new crossover that Marvel has talked at length to Allura about, and I just barely heard about. Avengers Standoff?
We don't know that. We just know it's the next big Marvel.
Yeah.
The premise is there is a city, and there's something going on in it, and all the people are like trapped inside this city. And the Avengers are trying to keep them trapped there. That's all we know about
that. That's odd.
Yeah. So we don't know much about it, but it's their next big thing that they're going to be doing.
I'm interested. So. I saw some of the promotional artwork. They show the new Tony, Captain Falcon, Steve Rogers, and Thor.
Yeah, just kind of chilling. Trying to stand in front of the city's sign.
Seems odd enough, but who's the writer on that? Is it Nick Spencer? I think Nick Spencer's attached to that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I probably should have looked.
All right, let's move on to our next one. A Spider-Woman crossover?
Yeah, it's Spider-Woman, Silk, and Spider-Gwen.
Could not be less interested.
I like Spider-Gwen, I like Silk, so I'll probably read it. Spider-Woman, not so much.
You have fun with that.
Eh? Since when do you hate Spider-Gwen and Silk?
I just don't care. I'm kind of, there's too much Spider-Man.
Well, when people stop buying it, they'll stop making it. Okay, a new story I'm actually very excited about. An Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin series that takes place. Was it before Clone Wars, Marvel?
Yeah, before Clone Wars.
And I wasn't excited, but Soul's writing it, so.
You know it's going to be at least pretty good, so.
Yeah.
It's the same artist from Shattered Empire, Shichetto.
Okay, that
should
be good.
Who's great. Yeah. So, yeah, good art.
And then to round out this week's news, we have some quarter numbers for comic book sales.
Yeah, they're down 20% versus last year, but they're still up year to date over.
Did anyone look into what happened last year during this quarter?
No. Well, I know what happened this year during this quarter. The DC was heavily way down this quarter.
Yeah, but why?
That failed event. What was that shit called?
Convergence.
Yeah, Convergence. And
yeah, but that what I'm saying is there was probably an event last year that did good.
Well, no, what Marvel's trying to say...
I don't think that's the case. I just think that this year, the third quarter was way down because of DC.
Yeah, DC was doing normal numbers for them, but especially as of late, they've been doing poorly.
But we didn't look into it, so we don't know for sure.
Well, if it's year-to-date, I imagine that's the case.
But it's also DC, we don't care, and there's a reason why those numbers are going down. And they pumped a lot of numbers in that DC YOU thing, the DCU. And that was a big flop. And that's part of the reason why they, you know, administered all those austerity measures, so.
Oh, you guys just like trashing DC. Hey. We did not do our due diligence on this story.
Well, I still said that year to date it's still up from last year. So, yeah, down this quarter, but we're still on pace to beat last year's numbers.
Yay.
So, I mean, that's always good. I always like to see that overall comic sales are up.
Hey, and just in case you think we're burying DC, I convinced... At least you, Laura, anyway, to read Justice League, at least when the next issue comes out.
Oh, I did agree to that, didn't I?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of DC, but I don't want them to do poorly, because I don't want the comic book industry to...
No, and you know what? I love
Yay,
all the DC...
comics.
I love all the DC characters, and I want them to succeed, but, you know, their current incarnation, I don't much care for. It's not really an indictment. Right. It's not really an indictment on their, you know, their properties, it's just really what they're doing with their comics.
Fair enough. Can we go to lightning round yet?
Yes, let me play the music. Okay, for lightning round, initially we had nothing planned for lightning round, but we decided to bump a couple of things up, and a couple of things the guys decided that, you know, I think especially like the one instance I'm looking at right here in front of me, Grumpy Cat, the guys were like, we'll put it on the list, but I guess neither of the guys decided to read it. And to be honest, after reading it, I could see why.
It's just we had a lot of books, actually.
Well, it's also like you think it'd be like at least, you know, something would be funny to read like a one-off, but even then it was... obnoxious, annoying, and not all that funny.
And that was his lightning round review. So.
Yeah, so...
That's gone now.
Yeah, even for the novelty of Grumpy Cat, I'd recommend not picking up Grumpy Cat.
Oh, well.
Yeah, okay, and for the rest of our lightning round consists of All New, All Different, Point One, Survivor's Club, Avengers Zero, Jughead, and Contest of Champions. You guys have a preference where we start?
No.
Okay, let's just start our contest of champions, because that's one thing we were talking about before we went on the air. How, I was kind of excited, because, you know, Ewing's, you know, sometimes he's good, sometimes he's kind of whatever. I didn't much care for his Mighty Avengers series, but I really liked that one issue he did of, that Avengers annual he did with Hyperion.
Listen, let me lay this out. This very well could get better.
Not that well, though.
If you're interested in a book that is about superpower people fighting, this book is for you. I am not interested in that.
If you like punching.
Yeah, if you like punching, this is a book for you. If you like stories, this is not a book for you. I like stories and characters, and this is not a book for me.
We got two new heroes in this book, though. We got, someone named Guillotine. She's a female. Apparently she's, part of a long line of French heroes, I guess.
With cursed, there's like a demon sword.
Yeah, there's some, it's almost like the Black Knight thing.
Yeah.
And then, the other one is a South Korean, hero named White Fox.
Again, these seem like great ideas for characters, but unfortunately they're stuck in this worthless contest of champions.
Well, like I said, supposedly something is supposed to come out of this whole event. I don't know what it is, but supposedly something.
Yeah, which is probably going to be an event which we will read, and if the event is well done, it will tell me everything I need to know. And I won't need to read this comic.
Me and Luro especially are really down on this. Marvel, are you going to continue to read this or no?
I don't know. Maybe I'll read it and I may lightning round. Maybe.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. And, let's move on to our next lightning round title. All new, all different Marvel, it's just called All New, All Different Point One.
This was a,
I feel like there should be a Marvel in there though.
It was a bunch of prologues for new books coming out. A lot of it centered around, Contest of Champions. But, it's a prologue for Carnage, Inhumans, Groot and Rocket, S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil. The biggest thing out of this was we finally got the reveal of who Daredevil's new apprentice is. His name is Sam. He's an illegal Chinese immigrant who's been living in the country for a while, who's a genius. And he's got this invisibility suit. And he meets up with Daredevil, and I guess...
Yeah, I was pointing out to Marvel, I'm like... Leave it to Saul, who's an immigration lord, when he finally gets on a book like Daredevil, to have a story where one of the characters is in fact an illegal immigrant.
And I told him it sounded like the plot of Good Will Hunting.
If Good Will was teaming up with Daredevil and
yeah, there's a genius who works as a janitor at a university.
Yeah, and he does that so he can audit classes and. You know, do stuff at night in labs.
Yeah. Carnage seems to be about Carnage's adventures, eating bad people. I'll read the first issue, probably.
Say that one more time, what the Carnage book is about.
Eating people in the South.
That's my prediction for the series as far as... Our interest as well as the comic book sales.
Is anyone actually interested in this book?
No.
I'll read the first issue. Hey, it's a Spider-Man related book and it's actually different. It's not about a peppy character going on adventures. It's about a serial killer, serial killing, eating people.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Okay, yeah, you can do drops. All
right. Don't worry, I'll keep it to a minimum. As far as Marvel's concerned, I can't vouch for him.
Yeah, so that's that.
Okay.
And what else we got?
Our next book is Survivor's Club, a book which was fine, but...
Which I forgot to read.
You didn't... Yeah, believe me, you missed out on nothing.
Okay, here's the premise of this...
yeah, Marvel, by all means.
I know the premise.
Apparently, there's... in 1987, a bunch of individuals from different walks of life experienced something horrifying in their life, and it all appears to be linked to a video game. So this chick from South Africa... collected them all and, you know, and explained to them that there's some evil stuff going on with this video game. So they're trying to figure out the creator and, you know, the people who, you know, made the game and designed the game. Some evil forces at play. One of the individuals appears to be either a robot or a weird. I don't know. Something's going on. There's more than one copy of her, apparently. The blonde one.
Yeah, they showed, like, at first, and you know what? There was parts of this where I was kind of tuning out. I was like, why are there two versions of this girl? And I just assumed it was linked to whatever this unholy game.
Yeah. By the way, it wasn't bad, but
it was fine. But with that said, it's like I have no desire to ever read this ever again.
Yeah, and I have no desire.
Okay, and Avengers Zero.
This wasn't bad. It was just it was basically a book. The framing of it was the Squadron Supreme, who are going to be to have their own comic. So they were, since Hyperion was an Avenger, he was telling the other members about all the new Avengers teams. So we got a little overview of every single new Avengers book. There appeared to be roughly 27 different Avengers teams.
It's going to be A-Force, mm-hmm. New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, isn't there like an all new, all different Avengers or some shit?
Ultimates.
Yeah, that's the one that has Squirrel Girl. And Ultimates. We also found out Alpha Flight is no longer a Canadian superhero team. In the new Marvel Universe, Alpha Flight is it's like a space platform.
Yeah, something like that.
That has people on it.
And here's the thing, especially when they went into the A-Force stuff. In several instances, they mentioned an omniverse, but then in other books, they kept referring to a multiverse. So I have no idea what Marvel's doing going forward.
That sounds like the same thing to me.
Is it?
Squadron Supreme is made up of the classic Squadron Supreme, but they are all from different dimensions that were destroyed.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
But now they're all in the 616.
Yeah.
And they're the authority, is how they laid it out. They're a team, they're a very powerful superhero team who is going to protect this world by any means necessary.
Yeah.
Which could be good, could be bad. We have no idea. It's Robinson, who has written nothing good since,
Starman.
Since Starman. I really want to like Squadron Supreme, so I'm going to give it a shot.
As am I.
Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll be Cry for Justice.
I'll probably stick around way longer than I should because I really want to like a Squadron Supreme book. So
yes,
we also got the first look at the AIM Splinter Group.
Oh yes,
it's headed by Evil Reed and it's called Whisper.
Yes,
yeah, they're like bugs.
I'm right? down.
They're like bug people.
Some weird shit.
Well, Evil Reed is still around.
Yes,
he was the maker.
Yes, and there's some remnants of the original AIM as far as part of his organization as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, all the bad people. He said all the best people, but it's basically all the leftover bad people. Yes. He recruited them because Sunspot, you know, he kept the good people.
Yeah, remember he paid them, he gave them benefits and this and that.
Yeah.
Some people,
bad people went with Reed, the good people stayed with Sunspot.
Okay. And to round out this week's lightning round is a book that I was anticipating, and I was hoping it was going to be good, but it kind of fell flat, at least for me anyway. This week's Jughead, number one.
It was fine.
It wasn't bad, just I don't need to read more than one Archie book.
Yeah, exactly, in the sense that I'm spoiled now with the Wade series. I was expecting this to be just as good. And it was better than I have to imagine what Jughead had been doing recently, but it doesn't quite measure up to the Wade series.
I make a promise to the Comic Conversations listeners that we will, in fact, read at least the first issue of all these new Archie books.
Yeah, I think there's a Betty and Veronica series as well, and a Kevin Keller.
Yeah, which I'll try, and maybe they'll be good, but... and. Like Marvel said, and, you know, I said, this wasn't a bad book.
No.
It just was nowhere near as good as the Wade, who is it, Fiona Staples does the art?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nowhere near as good as that. And we already read so many books that, you know, I feel we're representing the Archie line by reading Archie.
Yeah.
That's the flagship. And we'll keep reading that, and we'll give the other books a new chance. This was okay, but not great, and I'm not going to read any more okay, but not great books.
Neither am I. And I was, you know, high because, you know, I like the Jughead character, but, I don't know, this kind of underperformed.
Yeah, it was about Jughead.
Mr. Weatherby was replaced as a principal, and then the new principal replaced all the good food in the cafeteria, so he took home ec to learn how to cook and make hamburgers.
Yeah, Jughead didn't care about the new principal until he gave them bad food, and now Jughead suddenly cared and is going to go to war against the new principal. Which is a cute premise. But, you know. I might even actually read this. I just don't want to review it every week.
I'm not too keen on it. And it's the guy that does Howard the Duck and the artist that does Squirrel Girl. And you think that'd be a recipe for success, but I'm just like, I don't need to read
that
book.
Like I said, it wasn't a bad book. I'm just not going to review it every week.
Okay. And that's going to do it for this week's Lightning Round. Let's move into this week's books, which, when I play the song, you'll figure out why I'm asking for audience participation. All right, let's go into it. Did you guys raise your arms?
You want to know if I'm sitting at my desk holding my arms up?
Yes, are you?
Are they gonna take that away from him because Randy Orton does it?
I have to imagine they won't, but.
I was thinking about that because Randy Orton doesn't do it to music cues.
He hasn't done that forever though.
Does. No, he still does it. He doesn't do it to the music, but he still does the arms raised thing. It's slightly different from Finn Balor.
You didn't answer my question though. Did you raise your arms?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did.
Nice.
I love Finn Balor. I can't wait till he goes heel.
Yeah, I don't regularly.
Not on the first new set of NXT tapings.
Yeah, I don't regularly watch NXT, and I saw that and I'm like, oh, that's cute. I gotta do that on the show.
I do, but Finn Balor does not appear on the next set of tapings, I believe.
Uh oh.
James Storm does though.
Nice. All right, let's get into this week's books, which, you know, when we ran down last week's books, we were a million comics, but after Lightning Round, there's a bunch of stuff we dropped. We only got 17 books.
That's still a lot. Yeah. What are they?
They are as follows. John Flood number 3, Train Called Love number 1, We Stand on Guard 4, Star 5, Amazing Spider-Man 1, Doctor Strange 1, Darth Vader 10, The Invincible Iron Man 1, Force Awakens 2, Miracle Man 3, Siege 4, Secret War 6, my mistake, Star Wars 10, Lando 5, Bloodshot Reborn 7, Imperium 9, and Ruin 1.
That's a lot of bucks.
Yeah, I know.
What are we going to start with?
Let's start off with a bang. Let's start with John Flood number 3, just art by Justin Jordan, art by George Kaleo.
That was another good issue of John Flood.
Yes, John Flood delivers.
Yeah, it was good. I'm sad that this is going to end in 3 issues.
It is?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until I noticed the thing that says 3 of 6.
Oh.
That's sad.
Fail.
Yeah, I know.
What are all these books we like and then it turns out they're ending?
I know Prez is only going 6 issues. I think Star-
Plus 'cause nobody bought it.
I think, isn't Star of a limited series as well?
It's coming.
No, but in, no, it's-
In January.
It's like many Image books there, because I said to Marvel, why? I was like, why is he putting out like 3 issues in a very short span? We found out why at the end of the issue. It's because they want to get the trade out.
Yes.
John Flood, on the other hand, appears to just be ending.
Which is disappointing.
So what happened in this issue?
The woman whose cat they rescued a couple issues ago, she's being targeted by that one guy who, from the first issue was killing people. Remember, the guy who, was taking in the cats, the herder, he got killed by that guy because John Flood had, he figured out a way for them to lead that guy to that place. He ended up killing the guy, and the cop who was working for him was like, well, you didn't have to do that. You know, you knew he was gonna get killed. And apparently, they're teasing something with John Flood and this killer. Apparently, yes. This killer has, and John Flood might have some history, but I'm not sure.
He might have been sent by the people who made it so John Flood doesn't have to sleep.
Yeah, when they brought up the fact that, you know, John Flood is sort of, you know, when he's trying to track down these people, he doesn't really care what happens to them. And I guess in part of that, they showed, like, the world isn't fair. And then part of that, they showed John Flood being strapped down and being experimented on.
Yeah, he was having, like, flashbacks to what they did to him.
Yeah.
Or what he allowed. He let them do it, right?
It from the panels that I saw, it didn't look like he was willingly taking part of the experiment.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't look particularly happy.
Then again, even if he volunteered, I imagine it's still not probably a pleasant process to make them where they don't need to sleep anymore.
Yeah. There's another good issue, but now that this is a mini, it's like, okay, well, let's see where it ends.
Yes. And that's the one thing I'm sort of glad, because it seems like one of those series that if it wasn't a limited series, it could go on for a while, and then I don't know how much I would care if it kept going and going and going. So,
you
know, there's good and bad in the fact that it's a very limited series.
No, but this was good.
Yes, so. Very much so. Let's continue the momentum or the, no, I'll go with momentum. I was going to say the train with Train Called Love Number One, writer Garth Ennis, art by Mark Dos Santos.
Which I read, 3 minutes before we started the show.
And aren't you glad you did?
Yes, it was very fun. I like Garth Ennis. He writes fun books.
Yes, very much
with
so.
With a lot of humor.
With a lot of dark humor.
Yes. This book is about... what is this book about?
It's sort of all over the place. There's two main stories.
One of them is the lady.
Mm-hmm. Valeria?
It's just Valerie.
Okay, my mistake.
But Valeria is... Reed's daughter.
Yes, I got the two confused.
This is just Valerie, who goes home and gets a message from her mom and then dirty messages. So she grabs her bat to go over to the person who lives across from her, who is leaving her dirty messages, and she grabs her bat to go over to kneecap him. But as she's there, there is a hitman who has killed him, who she has sex with for no apparent reason. And then
she saw it's just a thing to do. Like,
his German bosses.
Oh, I love them.
The people who hired him and get them after they have sex, and is going to kill them, but he is a upstanding English fellow who will not allow them to kill her.
I believe the German folk are Emil and Gustav.
And they talk like they're fucking moose and squirrel, kind of.
to me, they came off as the characters from, what was it, the Dude movie.
Big Lebowski?
Yes. The Germans?
Oh, yeah,
that?
I can see that, yeah.
That's what they were inspired by. I'm like, oh.
They're German stereotypes.
They're the nihilists.
Yeah. There's a big fat one, and there's a tall, skinny one. They both dress ridiculous. And the other character who had the biggest laugh in this book is a tutor.
Oh, yes.
Chilling with his friends at the bar, and he tells them the story of he's a tutor. And he goes over to this very nice neighborhood to go meet with the girl he's tutoring. And he...
Sorry. It's hard to do this recap because it's so funny.
Yeah, he's a black guy and no one's there to let him in. He walks into the back and they're all wearing their Ku Klux Klan outfits.
And here comes the best part.
They're very embarrassed. Because they forgot that they had their Klan meeting this week, but all the Klan people, who are all yuppies, they try to explain to them that, no, we don't hate you people. I mean people like you. We just don't like, and then somebody yells immigrants. That's it. We don't like illegal immigrants. That's why we're in the Klan. And then they offer him some bomb-ass Chardonnay, but he leaves. So those are our two characters. Funny book. Me and Fat Man are going to keep reading this. Marvel missed out.
Yeah, he had a problem tracking this down, but I bought a physical copy, so at the very least, we were going to get a lightning round. And I'm glad Lurro got around to reading it because it's a really good series, and you know, I'm eagerly anticipating reading it because I think last week we weren't even sure if we were going to read it, right? It was sort of something I was on the fence.
We had so many books.
Yeah. But I'm glad we went out of our way to read it.
Yeah, it was very fun.
Okay.
We'll continue reading this.
Yes, and we will continue to enjoy. All right, next book. We Stand on Guard, number 4. Writer Brian K. Vaughan. Art by Steve Scarro.
Scrooge. Thank you.
Apparently, there's the U.S. is experiencing some uprisings in the country throughout different cities. And the president wants to take them out in Canada.
The president's a dick.
Yes. Oh, and it's a woman, apparently.
Yeah. The woman president is a dick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We got to be correct. She's a bitch.
That fucking bitch.
Thank you.
Did you guys rehearse that? Because that was pretty good.
No. Thank you, drop board.
Yeah,
America has their full force attacks our Canadian heroes at their base. One of them gets into the giant death machine that they captured, the Big Mech, to allow her friends to escape.
Yep.
She's presumably going to die.
Yeah.
They, however, get away.
But then one of their guys, one dude with the beard, he apparently got captured, and they got some U.S. soldiers have him at gunpoint, telling them to surrender. And they're like, well, what do we do? And he's like, oh, just shoot us. And they're like, well, if we shoot at him, is it going to be able to, like, avoid him? He's like, no. I was like, oh, then we only have one thing we can do. And they're like, fire. So presumably they're going to kill these soldiers and their friend.
But we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. It ended.
Because the issue ended.
Yeah. It was a fine issue.
Yeah.
Isn't this a limited series as well? It's only going 6 issues?
I have no clue.
Let me look it up.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I think I saw on Comic List. Let's see. I'm pretty sure this too is also a limited series.
It doesn't seem like it has a ton of legs, to be honest.
Really?
No, yeah, I think it does. It seems like something that could go on for a while.
Yeah. Remember
Broken World?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right here. We Stand on Guard. This is number 4 of 6.
Okay.
So we got 2 more issues left to go. Yeah, I know. I know.
You know what? Fine. We read so many books.
Would you rather it go on forever and it get long in the tooth, or would you rather short and sweet?
The reason why I thought it didn't have many legs is because they were killing off practically everybody already.
Okay.
That the leader that they captured, remember the one they tortured? They already said that they were gonna have her killed.
Yeah, but you can always introduce more characters. Yeah, it's a very big world.
But it's taking place in Canada. And their resistance group is limited.
Exactly. Oh, well. Like I said, for me, it's one of those things where I'd rather be short and sweet than it get long in the tooth and I wish it ended a while ago.
Yeah, man.
I specifically gave Marvel permission to go hog wild with the drops. So if you have...
It's annoying, isn't it, guys?
If you have complaints, send them to comicconversations1@gmail.com.
I have complaints. It's annoying.
Take it, baby.
Can we get to the next book?
Yes.
Please.
Since we talked a Brian K. Vaughan book, let's talk his new one. Paper Girls number 1 by, of course, the previously mentioned Brian K. Vaughan, and art by Cliff Chang.
I like this.
As did I.
Is this also a limited series? Because it seems like it's going to be a limited series.
Let's see. I'm looking at Comic List right now. It just says Paper Girls number 1. So there's no indicator it's going to be a limited series, but who knows? Maybe down the road, it may in fact be a limited series.
Yeah, it takes place November 1st, 1988, the day after Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
There's 4 main characters right now. They introduced all in one issue. It's Aaron, KJ, Mac, and Tiffany. Apparently they're all, I think they're all private school, aren't they, all of them?
I'm not positive.
No, they are.
Okay.
And, they're all paper girls. With paper routes.
It sort of conflicts with it. If the parents can afford private school, you think they wouldn't have to work. But whatever.
But maybe they spend all their money on private school.
There you go. Maybe that too.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they run into teenage bullies and cops because one of the girls, Mac, she's like this, you know, she's one of those, tomboyish type.
She's
girls.
A worldly woman as a, or yes. Young lady.
Smokes, you know. Then they later run into these costume looking thugs.
Yeah.
Which they down. Mm-hmm. And because, apparently they stole one of the walkie talkies from the girl.
Yes. And they specifically mentioned that these aren't just regular run of the mill walkie talkies. One of the girls took great pride in the fact that she had these cutting edge, not even like radio things. They were just like, I forget exactly what they were, but they weren't just walkie talkies.
She also saved all her tip money from the summer. So that's what she spent it on.
I think she said they were like $50 radios. So they weren't even walkie talkies.
Yeah. So, they're able to chase him down. There is this undeveloped, area. And, they chase him down to this basement in this one undeveloped home. And, they uncovered something, and it looks like this weird capsule looking thing, but they're not sure what it is.
They just assume it's something from the moon landing or something, and they just sort of just scoff at it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's supposed to be a hoax, joke thing. And, you know, they did this on purpose because, you know, we deliver newspapers and then we'll go to the papers or something.
They think so highly of themselves. I love that.
Yeah. Well, that one girl does.
Yeah.
So they were able to fight these costume guys off because they started attacking one of the girls. And they ripped off the mask and it looks like a deformed looking person.
Yeah, and they're speaking this gibberish to where, you know, for the reader it just looks like, you know, lines, but I'm sure... You know, if it had been, you know, a television show or something, it would have just been gibberish.
Yeah. Well, anyways, when they run off, one of them drops something. And it appears to be a small device, and it's what appears to be an iPod mini?
Huh.
Some sort. It's an Apple device. I'm not sure whether these are aliens or freaking time travelers.
Either way, I'm interested.
Yeah, no, I like this issue.
Yeah, this is one of those series that we didn't initially put on the list, and then I went to the comic book store, I'm like, why do I keep hearing all these things about Paper Girls? Cause I keep up with all I guess you would say propaganda for all the comic book sales and whatnot. I'm like, why does Paper Girls keep coming up? And it's like, when I picked it up off the shelves, I'm like, let's see if someone famous is writing it. And I'm like, oh, Brian K. Vaughan. Okay, I gotta add this to this week's, list.
I didn't love it, but whatever.
Hate Saga. Hate Saga.
No. I like Saga.
Uh-huh. All right, let's talk about a book I'm sure you liked. Star of Number 5, writer Brian Wood, art by, I'm not even going to bother. Daniel Zezij.
This book I really like, but this book, we found out, is going on hiatus.
Boom.
Why is it going on hiatus? Because he wants to put the trade out.
Boo.
You know what? Creator owned, he's gotta make his money.
Bautista, boo.
So Gavin, continues his adventure by beating up the next cook with a lead pipe.
Yeah, it's, they were doing a challenge. They didn't do an all out, like, fight. Basically, it was him and the guy who's at the main chef at Master Paleo Barbecue. They do this thing where they keep hitting each other until somebody gives up.
Seems legit.
Jesus. However, yeah, so they do their challenge. Rowan, the head of the show, who took over for Gavin when he went to Thailand to do drugs. Right? That's
more,
Layla.
More or less.
Yeah. Rowan informs him that your ex-wife is nuts. She wanted me to kill you, but I don't want to do it. And I put myself back in the competition because I want to cook again. And, Gavin's wife shows up and stabs him. Stabs Gavin.
Yeah, because Gavin's doing, you know, increasingly well. In fact, right before they announced what his score was going to be, she jumped on stage and stabbed him, slit his throat.
You figured she'd go to jail.
No, well, she didn't slit his throat.
Oh, okay. The art's very...
She stabbed him, and he's fine. If she slit his throat, he'd be dead.
Oh. I don't know. Maybe she slit his throat with, I don't know, butter knife or something.
Are the authorities going to get involved? What the fuck?
Probably. We don't know, because we got to wait now. Boo.
Bautista, boo.
The daughter appears to be dating his assistant.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. I like.
Right. They had some sort of, remember like in the last issue there were some problems. It looked like his daughter was like upset because, you know, he was answering texts. But then she talked to that guy and that's kind of like what got her talking to him again.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, they seem to be better off talking to each other now. Yeah, this thing is coming back, it was January or February, I can't remember when it is, but.
February. The trade's coming out in January, the comic's gonna restart in February.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long couple of months. Why are all the good books ending or on hiatus? Why?
Because they're all creator-owned.
Some bullshit.
Let's talk about something that I'm sure is never going to go away or ever take a break. The Amazing Spider-Man number one. Number one, writer Dan Slott, art by, let's see if I can pronounce this right, Giuseppe Camondoli. God damn it.
Eh, whatever.
Everybody, change your name so you could be easily read on Common Conversations.
I didn't like this shit. I didn't.
I know, because it's different. And it's
Really?
Different doesn't mean good.
I thought it was alright.
I don't need a fucking book where Spider-Man is a poor man's Iron Man, and they slap you across the face with that.
I liked it.
I just didn't like
it. Yeah, I liked it.
I imagine Marvel has plenty of company, because when it comes to like characters like Spider-Man, people want it to never change.
I liked Superior Spider-Man.
That's true.
Okay then, shut the fuck up.
Suck it in and hold it.
Okay.
Wow.
I know.
Suck my dick.
This book deals with Peter going after members of Zodiac's gang with Mockingbird all the way in Shanghai.
Uh-huh.
See the new costume and the Spider-Mobile and the new people working at Parker Industries. He's got a press conference.
The Spider-Mobile. Stupid.
Well, yes.
He has a car.
They sort of crack jokes at the kind of absurdity of the Spider-Mobile.
Somebody on board defended it.
I know. Yeah.
I think my own
necessarily defend. He just says, well, to be fair, it does crawl around buildings and shit.
Yeah, I think my only real criticism with this book is it introduced a lot of stuff all at once. And I get the feeling if they introduced, you know, a lot of these concepts and ideas one by one, it would have been an easier thing. But to go completely cold, it's like, it's a bit much to take in after, you know.
I'm not into this globetrotting, Peter. It's just, I don't know.
I'm sure a couple issues in, once we get our, you know, accustomed to what this new series is gonna be, you'll be fine with it.
Maybe. I don't like the director right now, but who knows, maybe I'll like it eventually. I mean, I'm gonna keep reading it, but.
No, and I'm sure there's plenty of people that agree with you. Like, there are those readers that in fact want Spider-Man to be the same thing for,
I didn't see that either, by the way.
No, I'm saying, I said there's people out there that want that.
Well, anyways, he attends a wedding for, one of his guys. He's marrying some other dude. Mm-hmm.
Not Spider-Man.
No.
The guy is, yeah.
The Zodiac attacks the wedding. They're after Peter's tech. And apparently he's hired, Hobie Brown the Prowler to be the Spider-Man to throw people off.
But he kind of sucks at being Spider-Man.
Yeah, cause he's used to not being out in the open. He's a Prowler, you know? Prowler.
Yeah.
And he has no spider
sense. He's trying to make puns, but he sucks at it.
Yeah, that was actually funny. I did like that. Yeah. Trying to do the jokes and him being terrible at the jokes. I did like that.
And of course, because he wasn't bitten by a radioactive spider, you know, certain things where he was fighting, the Zodiac gang, where he had no spider sense, and he very quickly, you know, he still won, but there were a couple instances where he, you know, it didn't seem like he was going to pull the fight off. He was going to win.
Well, Peter gives up the tech to prevent further damage, and he questions, that female partner of his, Sanjani, on whether or not she betrayed him. Cause remember,
I like that too.
Yeah, I like that too. It's like, oh, I already know what you were fucking doing.
Bitch. He didn't say that. I
did. Marvel went silent for a second there, so I thought he was going to drop ready.
I do.
That fucking bitch.
See, well, before we went on the air, Lura lamented. He's like, oh, God, I can't believe this is going to be a thing on the
and
show.
And I still do. And if our fans gave feedback, they never do, but they hate this, and I hope Marvel drops it. Well, and he never will if you guys don't complain.
Yeah, I know. But so far, he's been pretty good so far. He's been using it sparingly.
Well, anyways,
you're just jealous. I guarantee you, I'm not jealous.
It's annoying.
If and when you get your setup working, I guarantee you'll be just as bad.
No.
Well, later on, she says no, that, you know, she's not trying to betray him, but then we see her later on in London where Anna Maria is at. And, I'm guessing she's planning something. Well, anyways, she's there working with, the Living Brain, the robot, and apparently, Otto, Dr. Octopus, is inside the Living Brain.
Yeah!
That was the big reveal at the end. There's a couple of backup stories for all the other Spider-Man books.
I wouldn't say they're just backups. They're more like in the previous issues where we had Avengers Zero and all new point
yeah,
one.
Yeah, backup stories for this are freaking.
They were more like previews though for what they're gonna do with all these books going forward.
Miguel quits being Spider-Man. But then he gets hired by Peter Parker. So I guess he's gonna be his other Spider-Man that is a decoy, I imagine.
That seems to make a lot more sense than for the Prowler.
Yeah. They showed, Silk. Apparently she's working with Black Cat, supposedly.
It's not the world's worst idea.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know if they're both heels or what. Or
it's different.
Yeah. The Spider-Woman book where she's pregnant, still doing superhero shit. We still don't know who the father is.
Nope, but I imagine we'll get that down the road.
Hope it's Hawkeye.
That would be funny.
Well, he was the one who was with her last. So, and then Miles' story. Apparently, Regen is back from New Year Vows.
But there's a twist.
He has his own company and he's stealing supervillain powers that are sent to his prison, secretly run by him. Yeah. And I think that was it for everything.
That was a good book. It threw a lot of stuff, introduced a lot of new concept, a lot of new characters. I don't know, like I said, my only real criticism is like, obviously this is supposed to be 8 months after Secret Wars, so obviously some time has passed, and because of that, you know, some things that they introduced very quickly, and I guess it's one of those things that just in time you'll get used to it.
I guess.
Alright, let's move on to our next book, Doctor Strange number one, writer Jason Aaron, art by Chris Bellacco.
I like this book.
Me too. I really like this.
I liked it, but I get the feeling not nearly as much as you guys.
No, I really like this. Okay. Doctor Strange is a guy that needed a book, and he got a book, and he has a gimmick. He's Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the book opened with a recap of his origin. And then it cut to present day where apparently he's making house calls as a mystical exorcist.
It's funny because in this issue specifically, they mention, oh, who else are they going to go to? And you think about it for a second. You're like, yeah, who else are they going to go to? But then they specifically bring up where he meets up with all the other magic people. I'm like, oh, why don't they consult them? They seem just as capable.
Scarlet Witch, Brother Voodoo.
Shaman.
The Shaman.
And Monaco, the Prince of Magic.
Oh, that was great.
Who runs the bar?
Yeah.
The magic bar.
I like when he specifically mentions that, you know, back it's in the day when I was, you know, fighting Nazis in World War II, you know, there used to be a cost for using magic, and my cost would be I would drown bunnies after I would cast a spell.
Yeah, he killed a bunny every time he did.
To sort of balance out the, you know, the cosmic universe. And he brings up to Doctor Strange, he's like, you know, what do you do after you do all this magic? You know, all this magic has a price. What do you do? And then sort of Doctor Strange sort of just brings up the fact that he does all this charity work. But to me it was more so that, you know, to do all this magic, there has to be something that kind of balances it out. So the fact that they bring up that there's all these things going on in the spirit world seems to be sort of the receipt for all the things he's been doing with magic.
I just like that Doctor Strange walks the streets. and he can see all the magic shit going on. Like, there's, you know, various things attached to everyone, and they don't see it, but Doctor Strange can.
Yeah, he draws the comparison as, like, there's all these, you know, tiny bacteria on your skin that you never pay attention of, but if you did research, you'd be disgusted. Well, it sort of works in the same way on the magical plane, in the sense that through my Eye of Agmodo, I'm able to see all these invisible spirit demons that, you know, possess your soul, at least, you know, to a small degree.
Some are good, some are bad. Some were big, some were small.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool, though.
He's noticing that there's a lot of weird shit going on lately. Soul suckers and like. The end of the issue, he runs into this girl named Azelma Stanton. And she's got this weird-looking thing coming out of her head.
Yeah, she's all... First, I just, you know, scoffed at it. I just thought it was a rash or... You know, an infection or something, but whatever. But she's all, she noticed that one day when she was trying to comb her hair, that whatever the infliction was, ate the brush.
Yep.
And at the epilogue, we're introduced to what might be the coming slaughter that they were talking about. It's a faction called Empirical, and they seem to be some kind of witch hunters who treat magic like a disease that needs purification. So, I think that's the big thing going forward. Or at least for this arc. Or maybe, you know, several arcs in advance.
Yeah, it's a series that, you know, obviously they put someone like Jason Aaron on, so they think very highly of the series, so. It's got legs, so I'm curious to see where it goes. And since Doctor Strange has a movie coming up, this series isn't going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Do we know what year that movie comes out, or?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We got characters that, you know, that aren't going to be getting a movie for anytime soon that already have books, so. It's not super important. All right, let's move on.
I'm just wondering when that's coming out, actually.
Okay, well, you know what? You can, Marvel and I mean, Lurog and I can do a review and you can look that up. Okay, let's move on to our next book, The Invincible Iron Man number 1, writer Brian Michael Bendis, artist David Marquez.
It's a good book. I like this book.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I didn't want to like it because, it was Iron Man and Bendis, but, they found a way to make me care about, Tony, Stark in 2015.
Oh. I was underwhelmed.
Really? I don't know. I thought it was good.
I didn't think it was badly written. I just found it uninteresting. I don't like the new armor design.
No, that is why. But...
They gave you the whole it can transform thing. Mm-hmm. So theoretically, it will look cool in the future. Right now, it's probably the blandest costume design I've seen since Jim Lee's V-neck costumes for the new 52. Nice. I almost completely tuned out when he went on his date.
That part was fairly boring. I'll give you that.
That date, that there was that one scene in the date that was the funniest shit ever. That thing.
Yeah, where she's like, oh, I thought you'd like have Thor or something show up, and then Thor flies in and he like waves her off.
that was funny.
But I mean, overall, it's just like, oh, here's a new character that we haven't introduced, and you don't really get much a sense about her except she might be a plot device in the future.
Yeah,
because she discovered a cure for mutants.
Yeah, a cure for the mutant gene that doesn't affect the mutants, and which I think this is going to lead to that whole thing with the Inhumans and mutants. Because
it's completely different though.
Terrigen Mist is killing and or making sick.
So then, how would that have to do with whatever they're doing in Iron Man?
They tell the mutants you won't get sick and die if you take the cure.
Yep. That'd be. Because I know if you look at that preview in Avengers Zero, mm-hmm. Rogue is, they said Rogue is bedridden because of the Terrigen Mist.
Mm. How does that make any sense, though? Because didn't Quicksilver get in the Terrigen Mist?
Yeah, but he's also not a freaking mutant now.
He's not a mutant anymore?
We've been over this in the Uncanny Avengers run from Remander.
Oh, yeah, he's not a mutant, that's right.
So now that hands waves that off. That's the precedent we have.
Okay. All right. And let's get to the big reveal at the end of this week's Iron Man.
Yeah, well, apparently Madam Mask bought some off a named scientist and killed him. And she's going to Latveria, which is apparently being overrun by neighboring countries. There's no state because Doom is not there. But
is he?
Yeah, Tony goes there and he beats some of the citizens, and then there's like this sonic blast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into what appears to be a non-disfigured Dr. Doom.
Huh.
Without the mask.
That was, by the way, that was another problem I had. Like, the first villain is Madam Mask. I guess it's okay. You have to build up, but.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. They're obviously gonna, the focus is gonna go somewhere else.
You can see through her mask now.
We can? I don't remember being able to do that. I thought they were just doing for like a glossy effect.
It's like, it's semi-clear.
Here's my question about Doom. Since I've never read anything with the Ultimate Doom, what did Ultimate Doom look like without the mask? Did he have the same burn mark or whatever?
I don't know, because I stopped reading.
I don't remember exactly what happened.
Because this could be Ultimate Doom now that I think about it.
Well, what it was, I think it had to do with, remember when they went into space or something?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the reason why he had those freaking, goat legs or whatever.
All I remember about Ultimate Fantastic Four is when they made the Fantastic Car, Johnny Storm named it Awesome. which is funny.
But yeah, and well, I guess we'll see how they explain away, that later on, whether or not this is whatever the new Doom or this is Ultimate Doom.
I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, I just thought of that like literally a couple minutes before we went back on the air.
I don't think they're gonna overdo the whole bringing in people from the Ultimate line thing. Cause that'll get ridiculous really quick. Well, we already have Reed Richards.
Yeah, we have two Reed Richards and now we have Miles Morales as well.
Yeah, but he's a different character. He's just another Spider-Man and we already have, you know, we have a whole team of Spider-Men who are going to exist, so that's okay.
Okay. You might want to move back into your house because I'm hearing some wind in the background. Todd Martin.
I'll move in a second.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Journey to Star Wars. Let's see. It says FASC on comic list, but it's Shattered Empire, Journey to Star Wars Force Awakens, yes. And that is writer Greg Rucka, art by Marco Cecchetto.
This is an improvement over the first issue.
Yes. For the love of God, please go inside.
I know. It's like he's in a wind tunnel.
I'm inside. It's windy out. I'm inside. Shut up.
What do you think of Ryback's mouth, Todd?
What happened in this comic?
It opens up on a rather somber Star Destroyer bridge. Captain Duvad is preparing to receive a visitor. And once he gets word of said visitor arrival, the bridge is cleared. And the visitor is a new type of droid that, as far as I know, we have not seen before. And it carries a message relayed by Palpatine himself.
Oh?
Yes.
He's dead. This is a leftover message.
Yes.
Or a leftover Empire person faking it.
I really hope this isn't the story of the new Star Wars movie. It's just going to be a bunch of
Palpatine's not going to be in it.
No, I'm saying in the sense that it's a bunch of Empire people that don't realize that the war's over yet, and that's
it's not
30 years later, dude.
They've talked about it. It's not that they don't realize the war is over. It's like they looked at history and judged that Palpatine was actually a good guy. So they like restart. They try to restart the Empire.
Okay.
To bring order back to the galaxy, like those are the bad guys. But then they also said that the lead bad guy isn't a Sith, but he carries a freaking lightsaber. So.
Yeah, but in this, you know, this is a week after the war ended. So.
Yeah, so it'd be different.
Yeah, they're not sure whether or not he's actually dead, but they just received orders to destroy, his home planet of, what's that shit called, Naboor?
Naboo?
Naboo?
Naboo.
Yes, yeah. Naboo. Has it been that long, Marvel?
Yes.
This is Star Wars Episode 1.
Yes.
I thought this, like, I don't know why I read this. Like, I guess I had time this week. Because after the first issue, I'm like, well, this isn't going to cover all that much. And this is what, a 4-issue series?
Yeah, it's 4 issues. By the way, it ends with Shara. She's going to be, because I guess she had been working so hard and her husband's doing stuff with Solo. They gave her some light duty by being an escort for Princess Leia, and they're headed to Naboo, right as Palpatine, or as the orders of Palpatine's last orders were to destroy the planet.
Why is she still a princess if they did away with the royal family?
Maybe it's just sort of a, I don't know, figurehead thing?
Yeah, because remember, there's
like the Queen of England?
There's refugees from Alderaan, so she's the figurehead.
Mm. Okay.
I thought
it's a title that means Jack, but for them, I guess it's something.
It's still a title, but yeah, it doesn't mean anything. There's no power behind it. It's a formality.
Yes.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Okay, move on to our next book, Miracle Man by Gaiman and Buckingham.
Oh, I like this issue.
I'm glad you did. I didn't much care for it. There were moments, see, especially the part where they had the various portraits and they were talking to each other. That part I thought was cute and I liked it, but for the most part I hated this book.
Yeah, we told Fat Man we like this more than the last issue, and he was flabbergasted.
I love the last issue so much.
He could not believe us. Whereas I read them both in a row, and I found the last issue to be kind of dull, and this one I really liked. Even though I'm probably reading too much into this, but I think Miracle Man might be kind of a star fucker, because if you look at the people he's brought back to life,
yes,
he has brought no one back but like. B-list celebrities from the 70s and 80s. He hasn't, and he's actually outright refused to bring back a normal person, which we saw in the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I know for some, remember, I think in right before the last of the Alan Moore run, they mentioned the way they do heaven. They do have regular people living in this afterlife. But it's just like Andy Warhol, they're all robots who are with their minds and stuff.
And they'll bring folks back, but they'll force them to live on Earth, and they won't let them live in heaven with Miracle Man.
No, they don't.
Wait, bring back, they can't. They can. No, what he said was, okay, so all those robots, like the Andy Warhol bots, they can only live in that one place.
Oh, okay.
They said, but. A couple of them had been allowed to go up higher to the area Miracle Man lives in.
Yeah.
And they were told they couldn't leave that area. So apparently Miracle Man has been lying to them, because if he brings some of them up, then that means technically they should all come up. Also, in this, he brought back Evil Doctor.
Yeah, basically he's making his own personal hell for Dr. Garganza. He's getting back to him.
Well, no, what he was doing was, that guy, and I can't remember his name, the guy who's actually bringing him back, the alien.
Moran, or more.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. That guy, there is another guy who is going through the work of building the robot bodies and like putting the consciousness in them or whatever. We found out he has brought Garganza back like 10 times under the theory of this guy is a complete genius, like, he had this alien body and he figured out stuff to do that even the aliens didn't know how to do. So he's clearly a super genius, but every time they bring him back, he's still evil.
Yes.
And like they've gone in and they've tried to change his personality, remove parts of his memory, but he's always evil. And he was again here, so they just have to keep deactivating him.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, he made a way where he could leave that place and go anywhere he wanted, and it only took him like a week. Now, part of that could be because he's really smart.
It didn't take him a week. It took him like 3 months.
Okay, well, whatever. He did it, though, with very little equipment. He was able to do that. So presumably the super geniuses living with Miracle Man would have also been able to do that, but they haven't.
And apparently, Andy Warhol was in love with Garganza. Or that version of Andy Warhol. Yeah.
That version of Andy Warhol.
Yeah, this story focused on one of the Warhols. Did they tell us what number it was? Number 14?
Like he was number 6, I think.
Oh, okay. There was like 14
of
them, right?
Yeah, I think he was number 6. And another thing is, Andy Warhol, he probably wouldn't have been cool with being brought back to life.
It's one of those things where if you're faced with death or living this weird, obscure life, you have to imagine you'd still pick the life over the death.
Well, he had a quote on it, something like, the goal isn't to live forever, it's to create something that lives forever.
Ah, okay.
Which he already did, like that's an actual quote from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he would have been cool with being brought back to life. And he was upset too, because he couldn't figure out why, like, he kept getting brought back, like, even though there's like 16 of him, he kept getting brought back exactly the same. Like, Andy Warhol is kind of an ugly dude, and when they brought him back, he was still an ugly dude.
Yeah, he's all, like, I got that messed up nose.
Yeah, and he had, like, these scars from, I don't know what, surgery or something, and he still had the scars, even though he was a robot, they still built him with...
The scars, yeah.
You know, the scars, which he didn't like. But yeah, no, it raised some interesting questions about Miracle Man, as a lot of these issues have done. I'm still waiting for the official heel turn.
Well, it's been going on for a while, but it hasn't been, you know, as over the top.
It has been. It's because they like they dance around the whole, you know, he's sort of doing good, but he's doing good in a bad way.
Yeah, in the sense that he thinks he's so above the people that even when he's obviously doing some stuff that's questionable, he won't even listen to it because he thinks he's so above everybody.
Well, because he's God.
Yeah.
So he's not going to listen to these people, and none of the people who work with him are going to question him or what he's doing. Oh, also, we got another that little short backup of them in the inner space or whatever it's called. Yeah, they're apparently getting young Miracle Man. Not Kid Miracle.
Oh, is that who that was? Because they showed all these dead corpses, and one of them was obviously young Miracle Man. They flew past him though, because they showed that he was in agony.
No, they flew past Kid Miracle Man.
Oh, my mistake.
And they stopped in front of young Miracle Man, the one who, when they did the nuke explosion to kill Miracle Man, or to kill the Miracle Man family, he was the only one who died because he was there first.
Oh, is that who that was? Because I thought it was like some general guy, but that's
we
who
don't
that
know
was.
Anything about him because he never he was dead at the start of the comic.
Oh,
so we never knew anything except he was older than Bates.
See, so I'm interested to see where that's going. And then, like I said, for the most part, I didn't care for it. But there was this one scene where they had a bunch of Andy Warhol portraits, and they were using that as a way for I think it was either the alien. And Warhol, or was like Warhol talking to Garganza, and
it was Warhol and Garganza.
I thought that was like a really cute. I don't want to say cute. It was a really cool concept of them having to talk to each other.
The art is very good in this, but the art design in particular is really
it's
clever.
Fantastic.
Like the things he can do, and this is a younger Buckingham too. He got better, but this book looks great, and it's a thinker's comic. Which is always interesting, and not in, you know, the way like a Grant Morrison comic is, where it's like, oh, we're going to do lots of weird stuff and you have to try to figure it out. It's not like that. It's more like, you know, we're going to bring up issues you don't normally deal with and make you think about them.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Let's move on to our next book. Siege number 4, writer Kieran Gillian and art by Filippi Andretti.
This was the last issue. This was we got a revelation here. You know, Thanos had shown up in the last issue, and he asked to be put in a cell.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the shield itself, the wall, is part of Ben Grimm.
Part of the wall.
Yeah, part of the wall.
That was funny.
Yeah. So Ben Grimm is gigantic. Yeah. And can change shape, sort of.
Yeah. And he tells Ben about the true nature of the world. And that Doom put him there because he fears him, just as he feared the Torch who was also cast out. Because remember, the Human Torch is the sun in this world.
Yeah.
Yes.
The only one he kept is Invisible Woman, and Reed he didn't even make, so.
Yeah, because they said, I don't know if it was in this book or another book, but they talked about the origin of the Fantastic. It was a Fantastic Four origin, but it was minus Reed.
You know what I hope we get?
What?
In Secret Wars? I hope, and we probably will, I hope we get a meeting between Ultimate Reed and Doom. Because I think if Doom realizes there is a Reed, he'll completely lose his shit. But Ultimate Reed is evil, so
I don't know where he'll weigh in on the evil Reed. Because obviously he'll like part of him because he's evil, but then obviously because he's still Reed, he may not like him.
Well, Doom in the Ultimate Universe was evil, and evil Reed still didn't like him.
Yeah, that's true. They still hated each other, even though they were both evil.
Yeah, that's like Lex Luthor and Superman. They're never gonna like each other.
That Thanos has convinced all of the monsters beyond to cooperate and attack Doom as well.
Thanos is awesome.
Yeah, I know. And then I guess someone was drawing comparisons to the stuff with the Thing, and apparently with him, you know, jumping over the shield. I guess there were comparisons to him in that and Attack on Titan, which I know nothing about. Maybe a couple of our listeners do, and they can help us out with that.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. We'll see.
The book ended a little somber note because Abigail Brand and the last of the Cyclops clones basically just faced death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care because I lost interest in this book in the last issue. So.
Yeah, and this issue didn't really, like, it was nice that it ended and it actually did some stuff that actually is going to play into the overall Secret Wars narrative. But I thought this was kind of a weak end.
I believe Thing leaving the wall was also in Secret Wars, so.
Can you please go inside again?
I know.
Smoking.
It's him in a wind tunnel, I swear to God.
I'm wearing a coat, though.
I hear wind chimes.
I hear wind chimes, and above all else, I hear the wind.
We're having to deal with it.
No, we don't. We can just hang up on you and do the rest of our show ourselves.
I'm in between two walls.
Okay, well, let's see how long we can put up with this. But like I said, I guess it sort of fulfilled the prophecy that the other Kang had fulfilled, that when Thanos showed up, the shield would fall. But in this, it was a good thing, because it was going to lead towards everybody leading an assault on Doom.
What does it matter, though? Doom has god powers. He could just send all the things that were beyond the wall back, and he could put Thing back, and what's the threat? Because they said they've broken through the wall before, and Doom just let a bunch of people die and then fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't...
Yeah, but to the people, they're still not 100% sold on the whole idea that Doom is a god.
Well, they're getting
not
there.
Everybody knows. Like, even the people from the raft didn't know. They thought, I think Cyclops thought he had a chance, even though he was Phoenix, and he didn't stand a chance.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're gonna
they don't know the parameters. Like, I'm sure God, I mean, Doom has always thought he was a god, so for him to say he's actually a god, it's like, well, you don't know how legit it is.
Well, I don't know. Did he make them forget last time the wall collapsed and he fixed it? Brand new, didn't she?
Yeah, but that could have been the only one. It's not like Thanos knew about this either. Or Kang.
Well,
Thanos
wouldn't have known because he wasn't there.
Yeah, as well as some of the people that I'm sure that once made it past the shield.
Yeah. No, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to our next book, Secret Wars number 6. Writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Usada Ribic.
A lot of shit went down.
Yeah, I know. That's compared to the last issue we got where almost nothing happened.
Well, yeah, it was an improvement from the last issue. Yeah.
By the way, we found there's something wrong here with something that happened in another book.
Uh-oh.
Maestro's alive here, even though he died in...
Different Maestro.
No, it's the same freaking place.
It could have been further down the timeline.
We saw... What was it? In that Inhumans book, we saw Maestro, but he had died the previous month.
Yeah, but we could have explained that away as, oh, that happened, you know, prior to the events there. Here, this is weeks and weeks later.
How do we know,
maybe
though?
Maybe this takes place before that.
That's what I'm agreeing with Leroy here. I think that happened before then. But then again,
it's a different Maestro.
Yeah, then it also doesn't explain how he later up shows up in Contest of Champions.
Well, that doesn't matter because we don't know how any of those characters show up.
Yeah, we don't know how Secret Wars ends, so I guess we can't really...
Yeah, all we know is there's going to be a multiverse.
Because in the beginning of this, Madeline Pryor seems to be the new regent of Limbo after taking the Dark Child's power in Inferno. So that would have happened after.
Dude, don't focus on it. Secret Wars is going to end soon.
Oh, yeah, fuck continuity.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's like we're not going to solve it. It probably is a mistake. But it doesn't really impact the story.
You're
in
talking
that.
About Maestro being there. Who cares? Is it really? Yeah, like, is it really front and center to the main story?
I find the stuff that Fetman complains about hilarious. Oh, who cares about this shit? But if it's some other minor stuff, you'd be like, ah.
Well, no. I mean, I don't think you quite. Actually, I'm just saying I don't care.
Lots better than freaking pretending to care.
It could just be something that happened. You know, this happened before Maestro died.
Why would this, that is weeks and weeks later, happen?
Maestro never died. He got trapped.
Well, unless somebody rescued him out of there.
In the wishing well. Yeah, there you go. Doom rescued him out of the wishing well.
Okay. Can we get over this now? And then, by the way, I was right about another thing. You guys were talking about the Infinity Gauntlet in that one Infinity Gauntlet story. And I kept telling you guys, no, the Infinity Gauntlet's powers are...
Confirm they only work in the realm they come from.
Yes. And that's why we had the reveal when... Panther and Namor went up to the Sanctorum from Strange. That Strange had, you know, unbeknownst to Doom, he made a Infinity Gauntlet that would work in the specific spot where Doom is at.
It would work in Doomstat.
Yes.
And that is the only place it works in. So, and Black Panther has the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes, and you can't even use the argument, well, why did Doom make that? It's like, well, Strange made it behind his back, so he doesn't know.
Yeah, that would make better sense than him just having it out there. And also in this issue of Valeria, she's given a report to Doom about the current investigations into the life raft survivors. And the short of it is that they're having a very little progress, but she doesn't trust Doom. She's starting to catch on, like, oh, there's something fishy going on here.
Well, everything, Doom even said it, like everything's kind of breaking down.
Yeah.
In Battle World. So yeah, a lot of people who trust Doom aren't going to be trusting Doom.
Yeah. Black Swan, she came back to Doom and informed of any conflicting details with, Valeria's report. It seems like she's loyal to her, you know, cause remember the Doom was like their god, so I guess she's loyal to him again. Susan, she's pressing for information as to who the rebels are, but is cut off by Doom, saying his primary concern is having him dragged in front of him. Let's see. What else happened here? Oh, Valeria, she talks to her members in the Foundation. And then, you know, she's feeling like she's being lied to. And in this part, they also said, they gave her an update as to what a breakthrough and figure out what the source of Doom's power is.
Yeah. I have to imagine it's that platform and then all those Beyonders that he captured.
Well, it was, well, mostly, what's his name? Molecule Man.
Yeah, I'm sure he found a way to fuse all those Beyonders with Doom.
Well, he's doing something.
Yeah, speaking of Miracle Man, we had some interaction between Peter Parker, 616 Spider-Man, and Miles Morales, and they talked to the Miracle Man. Not to the Miracle
Man. Yeah, but we've seen that
to the Molecule Man, my mistake.
Yeah, which is kind of funny when he's like, Molecule Man wants food.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I got a cheeseburger in my pocket, and Peter's like, had a cheeseburger in your pocket for like 2 years? And he's like, well, no, we're frozen. And he thinks about it. He's like, so you've had a cheeseburger in your pocket for 2 weeks? Do you just do that? He's like, well, yeah. And Molecule Man liked it.
Yeah, he's not too picky.
He ate that. Why does Molecule Man need people to bring him cheeseburgers when he's Molecule Man? Can't he just make a cheeseburger?
Yeah, out of nothing.
I don't know.
Or, oh, no, he can't because he's using all his power to keep Battle World together.
Maybe.
Yeah, so.
We also got,
by the way, that scene was played for laughs.
With, Black Panther and, Namor.
Oh, I love the scene where they both, you know, they uncover the Infinity Gauntlet and Namor's all, well, clearly I can't be trusted with it.
Yeah, that was funny. It's like, well, we know what I would do with it, so.
Well, was it the Siege, Courageous or whatever?
That's what they called it, yes.
Yeah. So. Well, the thing is, it's capable of teleporting you wherever you wish to go, and it also mentions as well as transform the traveler in any manner befitting their true self. Well, the word is cut off, but it looks like potential. Okay. There's also another few words obscured, so I'm guessing transformation. So, supposedly this is also, it lets you change things the way you want, so.
Okay, cool. And then we also had, Namor and Panther burying the hatchet. Black Panther brought up the fact that, you know, he doesn't have a kingdom anymore, neither does Namor, so why are they still fighting? So in this that, you know, they obviously teamed up, so.
It's kind of weird that all the shit that went down, now they're just cool.
Well, I'm sure that's just stuff on the surface. It's like, you know, they got bigger fish to fry, so they can't afford to be fighting each other right now.
He did basically say, like, look what happened. I mean, us attacking each other's countries compared to the entire multiverse exploding. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Well, he's like, I got what I wanted.
The people would have been dead anyway.
Yeah, he's like, I got what I want. All your people are dead. you're a kingdom of the dead, and I'm the kingdom of the ashes. So let's bury the hatchet.
That was nice.
But no, yeah, go ahead.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a great issue.
It's wrapping up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wrapping up. Coming up.
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces. And then also they teased that there was some kind of prophet that was, leading everyone against Doom, which I'm the curious maker? To see if it's, huh?
The Maker? Is that the one?
Could be Reed.
Yeah, I know Reed is the Maker, cause they already revealed
no, that. But
I mean, it could be Reed.
No, like, but I'm saying they kept referring to this person that was leading this revolt as the prophet, not the Maker.
Right. I find it hard to believe we're gonna have a story focusing on Dr. Doom. After a long run focusing on basically Reed Richards trying to save the multiverse, and it doesn't end with Reed Richards and Dr. Doom.
Yeah, we've even seen the previews for, you know, I think issue 8 or 9 where it shows it is in fact Doom and Reed going at it.
Yeah, I mean, logically that's where you end the story.
Yeah, but like we saw on the Siege, a lot of the person behind the revolution against Doom is in fact Thanos, so. But I get the feeling down the road we're going to get some kind of
But everybody's working against Doom at this point. All the villains he put in charge of his areas are against him, and you know.
So it's another thing that you know, there's a lot of moving pieces, and another one that they introduced in this issue was this mysterious prophet.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Star Wars number 10, writer Jason Aaron, art by Simone Blancanci.
Okay, so Luke is being thrown into a Hutz arena. His theory being he can get a big buy rate because this is the last Jedi ever. So he could have the last Jedi killed in his arena, and they realize he's not very good, so they're trying to like train him in how to fight, because Luke's kind of a jobber at this point.
I'm still laughing over that buy rate.
Well, that's what he's talking about. He's like, you think how much money I'm gonna make doing this? The Last Jedi live on pay-per-view against the monster? Brock Lesnar?
No, the Demon Kane?
It should be. Demon Kane's gonna come out in the next issue.
But
oh
he said
he could shoot fire.
No, but he said he wants buy, so he I'm not sure.
Oh, they could do a commentary team. Ha ha, Jabba. That Luke Skywalker, he loves to have fun.
He says Jabba. What were we talking about? Oh that's right, Star Wars.
Star Wars? I was talking about Luke and his arena fighting. But there was a sub-story about Han and
the wife.
Han's wife, not wife, and Leia. And Leia agreed if she would get them out of the predicament they were in, which is the Empire coming to kill them, then she could have Han back. And Han is not cool with this.
No.
It's like, you just can't be giving me away, princess.
Not a piece of meat.
And I'm not even really married to her. So we don't know what's going on with that yet, but she did help them to get away.
Well, the issue also follows Chewbacca and C-3PO as they bring the Falcon to Nar Shada to rescue Luke.
Oh, yeah, and that was actually, they were my favorite pair.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
This is like a part where like C-3PO, he walks down to ask some droids some questions, and they decide they're going to take him and rip him apart and sell him, and then Chewbacca comes in and just tears the bad droids apart, and C-3PO is like, oh, I don't think they're very nice people anyway.
Yeah.
And then they went into a bar and...
Yeah, they caused trouble, and freaking Chewbacca was kicking ass again.
I wonder why no one wants droids in their bar.
I have no clue.
This is weird to me.
The issue ended with a cliffhanger of sorts.
Well, the droids aren't going to drink, so why are you going to have them taking up space?
Okay, fair enough.
That's as good a solution I can think of.
The cliffhanger of sorts is with all the main characters converging on Smuggler's Moon, and an interesting last couple frames that reveal a new threat on the rise for the mighty Chewbacca. The building block issue, Stepping Stone, it was all right.
Well, everybody's going to save Luke.
More or less, yes.
Okay. Okay. And then never mention any of this ever again.
No, once they go in the movie, they completely no-sell it.
Well, why would they have to? It would be 30 years later.
No, I mean like Star Wars, yeah, they, Empire.
None of this is mentioned. Empire Strikes Back, so.
Those movies are already done, so why would they?
I know.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying.
They should get hit by a forget-me-not ray or something.
None of you will remember anything that happened in the course of this comic. could have the Men in Black show up.
Yeah, and they'll be like, wouldn't that make everything that just happened a complete waste of time? They're like, yes.
With a little pen.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Star Wars Lando number 5, writer Charles Soule, art by Alex Maleev.
This was, wait, what book are we doing again?
We're doing Lando.
Oh, okay.
This ended.
Yeah, this ended. After a surprising discovery of ancient Sith artifacts, that we found on the last issue, they decided that they have a real fortune on their hands. Unfortunately, Lando's pal Lobot was seriously wounded by Imperial guards who were holed up.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Lobot.
Yeah, so he's healing in a back-to-tank, and, the dark side crazed cat twins with lightsabers on loose, And that one character they introduced, Chanaf Cha, the female human bounty hunter. She's attempting to blow up the ship along with Lando's fortune. Although one of the things they pulled the swerve on here a little bit. We were we were led to believe that she was somebody from Lando's past, but apparently she's a former lover of Lobot.
Huh, so go figure.
Yeah, so she agreed to help them get out of there, and they were able to get out of there, but apparently Lobot became robotic. He lost devoid of all personality.
He died also.
Yeah, he had that thing hooked up to his head, and it was programmed that it would take over in the event that something happened to his brain.
I thought they left him in the ship.
No, he's in the movie. He's in Empire Strikes Back.
He is?
Yes. Yeah.
How do you forget these things? Then again, Marvel, weren't you unaware of this as well?
Yeah, I didn't remember, but I was like, I saw the screenshot. Oh, he was in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But like, the thing is, he kept bringing up the fact that he had that human thing hooked up to his brain, but then every now and then it would try to take over. But then he also brought up when he was dying that, you know, in the event that something happened to his brain, that the machine would take over.
Well, it was because he had to exert so much control to keep it from taking over. But yeah. since he was hurt, he couldn't do it.
No.
And then when he had to interface with the ship's computer, that took some of the stuff he used to fight being taken over, but he had to do it, so he did it.
Yeah. And then they also brought up the fact that, I think it was that traitor guy, he brought up the fact that they were going to sell all this Sith memorabilia and make a fortune, but then they thought, oh, once it shows up on the black market, they're going to figure out what happened with that bounty hunter girl and that she was going to have to be on the run because she was like, well, you know, eventually Palpatine would put two and two together and realize that she let stuff get away. And I also find it funny that everyone seems to like completely be oblivious to the fact that why does Palpatine own all this Sith stuff? I mean, he's not a Sith, right?
No.
It's so cute. They think it's still all on the level. I can see this is thrilling you, so let's move on to our next book. Bloodshot Reborn, number 7, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Butch. Is he... Juice?
Guys.
Guys? All guys?
Guys.
Guys. Thank you.
Mm. What book is this?
Bloodshot.
Okay. For some reason, I keep missing the part where he says the name of the book. Okay. Well, the book opens with the introduction of another nanite host. This time it's a telemarketer named Dwight. And, he's fleeing his office after the little machines and his, you know, blood-given visions. And he's killed by one of the other guys who has the nanites.
Yes.
So he's absorbing those, and he's, you know, his plan, what, you know, from what we understand in the last issue, was he's trying to collect all these nanites to become more powerful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so, like, cool. I said, in this issue, I think in some of the last issue as well, he realizes the other Bloodshot guy can do the same tricks as he can. Like, I think in this issue, he threw the body of that one Bloodshot person, and he threw it on the floor as a trap to try to get at magic.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
And then also, like, he can also sense the Bloodshot here as well, because he has so many nanites in his system now to where he can detect other Bloodshots as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when Lero said that it's the trap thing. I was watching a Big Bang Theory the other day, and there was this part where that chick, Penny said she did an impression. And then that dude, Sheldon was like, ooh, mimicry, I like that. I've been working on my General or Admiral Akbar. He's like, it's a trap.
We used to say that all the time when we played World of Warcraft. Constantly say it. Somebody pull a boss too early and someone would go, it's a trap.
Well, I've seen memes of that shit too.
You don't say. Memes?
Are there? It's do trap memes on the exist from Star Wars things? It's over 9,000.
Dragon Ball.
Yes. You know what? We could devote a whole podcast to all the internet memes, but let's talk, that all we have to say on Bloodshot?
Yeah, we still got stuff.
No, we haven't even talked about it yet. That was a big tangent.
Well, we talked about some, but, after the events of this, you know, this death, apparently Bloodshot's going under the name of Ray Garrison now. And, he's still tagging along with that like, magic. And then,
hanging her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's also being visited by the ghost of the late Geomancer K. McHenry.
But he ain't into her anymore because he's got a younger piece.
Oh, who's alive?
Who's alive and not a ghost.
Yeah, it doesn't bode well for the mental state of this character, nor for the...
Well, you know, he's going to get the nanobots back, and then he's going to be evil, right? Or no, because he wasn't evil before.
No, but he'll probably be less human again.
Who is controlling the nanomachines now that Project Rising Spirit is no longer a thing?
I have no clue.
It could be maybe some remnants of Project Rising Spirit. I don't know.
Or maybe he's going to get a villain.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And the villain took him over.
Blood Squirt, ooh, maybe.
The two special agents, Hoyt and Festival, they meet with Hoyt's contact from Rising Spirit, so they learn about Project Bloodshot. And they also learn from some pictures that Bloodshot is not the guy who is killing these people. It's another guy.
Yes.
Yeah. So the issue ends on a high note. Well, sort of. The shadowy meetup, they meet out in like some farm, I don't know, looks like a corn crop or something. And, he leaves the magic behind and he goes out in the field to look for him. But, the guy, you know, he knew he was bringing her along. So now he's holding her hostage. This guy. So.
Yeah. Not cool.
Stupid, brought her with.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
Well, he admitted it was dumb.
Well, yeah, but he also said, oh, you stay behind, but staying behind was actually what made it worse.
Hey, he's got a weakness for women who are nice to him.
He falls instantly in love with people that just are nice to him.
That's going to be a real problem for him in the future.
It's especially terrible in The Valiant when he just met that one girl once and apparently he had this giant connection with her.
Well, she was a good guy though, so it was okay.
I know, but it's weird for him to be, you know, have this giant emotional attachment to this girl who he met once.
It's weird unless you consider what he's been through. And then it's not really weird at all.
It's a little weird.
I mean, he doesn't remember his past. He's never had anything but a group to work for and murder people. So having any kind of real human relationship would be kind of a big deal for him. Since he's like, 36. And as far as he knows, he's never had it.
So kind of weird.
Did we mention how the super genius chick banged the old man?
Yeah, that was the last issue.
Oh, it was? Damn it.
That was funny.
That was really funny.
Yeah.
Sorry, I put them both together.
I love that panel. I was like, what the hell? It's like you didn't see it happen, and you're like, oh, crap, how did this happen?
He's like, yeah, I'm sorry it didn't last very long.
He's all, let's just pretend this didn't happen. She's all, pretend what happened.
Was still friendly with him, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no, but freaking Bloodshot, man. Freaking Lemire on this book, man. He just knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, it's good. Good for him. Now he's going to write X-Men. For what that's worth in 2015.
I don't have hopes that X-Men's going to be as good as this, but.
Yeah, we'll see.
His other books are still pretty good. What, Descender?
Yeah, but his other books, he doesn't have editorial telling him, okay, you got to get ready for this crossover. You have to use these characters. This has to happen with that character.
And
he doesn't have that.
Is he writing Moon Knight, or is that someone else? Am I forgetting incorrectly?
He's writing Hawkeye, isn't he?
He's currently writing Hawkeye, but wasn't he attached to Moon Knight? I know this was last week, but
I think it was him. It was him or Matt Kent. It was one of the Valiant guys.
Yeah, I don't think it was Matt Kent. I think. It'd be one thing if I would remember if Marvel was rating all of Valiant's talent.
Well, they did though. They picked up two, I think.
Lemire and who else? Not Kent. I'd remember if it was Kent. They'd be like, "Oh, the ship's sinking."
I could have sworn it was him. No, because they're not leaving Valiant.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah, they're not under exclusives to Marvel. They're just working for Marvel.
Yeah, well, if their Image stuff is any indicator, and Hawkeye's any indicator. They'll continue to be good.
I'm looking something up. Matt Kent actually came from DC.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, well.
All right, let's move on to our next book. Rowan's Ruin, number one, art by Mike Carey, art by Mike Perkins.
I told Fat Man I liked this more than Harrow Country, but I also felt pretty much exactly the same about it.
Yeah, I think, well, what other book did we just do? I think it was Survivor Club. It's a fine book, but I have no desire to ever read it again.
If you're into like little horror stories, I imagine you would enjoy this. but I'm not. So, I mean, I kind of like the character a little bit. She's like complete hipster trash, like doing house trading online. And when her crap apartment gets traded for like a 5-bedroom house in England, she doesn't question this as being odd.
No, not at all.
And then, you know, she goes into the house and the girl tells her, yeah, just don't go in my room. Well, she eventually goes in her room after finding like, you know, bear traps in the house. She goes in her room and there's like a circle of salt around the bed and like weird, little charms hanging above it. She talks to a cop about it, cause she makes friendly with a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's like, oh, you don't know about that place and like the dogs and stuff? Cause apparently this house that dogs kept dying in the house. From what we've seen, there's like a zombie man living in the house.
Yeah. If it sounds like I don't have much to say on this book, there's a reason for that.
Which is probably why the girl left the house.
Yeah.
Although kind of a B for, sticking another person in it.
That's true.
That wasn't very nice. I'm sure it'll be fine. I probably won't read it.
No, neither will I. But it's nice that we gave some try.
Art was good. Writing was good. It's just not my kind of story.
No, same here. Ditto. Yeah. It's something to me. I get the feeling this book gets better the more issues you read. But with that said, it didn't grasp me with the first issue.
I didn't read.
Well, yeah, you'll probably figure everything out, and then it would be better. But
okay. That's just as fine. Marvel. The next book we're going to cover is something I didn't read. Imperium number 9, art by Joshua Dysart, art by. Okay, this is from Comic List, so I'm not making this up. It's CFU. CAFU.
I believe that means it's a studio.
Oh.
Yeah.
This
was a really good issue. This is my favorite issue of Imperium so far.
I feel bad for not reading it because before I read the first issue of Imperium, I didn't much care for it. But then Lural convinced me to read it again because they were doing something with Divinity. And I figured since the Divinity stuff's over, I'm like, well, don't need to read this book anymore.
Well, I don't feel bad for you because I told you Imperium was really good. You should read it. And then you were like, no, I'm not reading it. It's stupid.
Hey, Marvel was like, there with me though. So it's not like I'm just
completely. But Marvel read it.
Yeah, I read it and it was great.
No, I'm talking about the issues. After issue one, even you didn't bother reading all the issues prior.
What does it
have? Oh, I'm not talking about those.
What does that have to do with issue 9?
Yeah. I'm talking about this.
Yeah, well,
issue 9, start of a new storyline.
Well,
because
I was talking
good.
How I only read Imperium because they did Divinity stuff, and now that that's over, I'm like, okay, I have no desire to ever read this ever again.
Well, we found out that the girl who was living inside the machine guy's chest,
yeah,
she was told to stay there longer because she's actually a double agent.
Yeah, there's something called the Vine.
Yeah, who might be a pre-existing Valiant thing, we don't know, because as we always point out, we haven't read all the Valiant books.
No, actually, from what I read, Vine Imperative is something that has only been hinted at before and never really fleshed out.
Ah.
Oh, so this is apparently going to be a big deal then.
Yeah, it still remains a mystery as to what it is, except its end goal is to destroy Harada. So it's something that's going on in the background, we just don't know what it is.
So they're good guys?
Maybe. They want to destroy Harada, that's all we know.
Well, Harada's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Although in this issue, he spent all his time sending his people to clean up Africa. That was his main.
Yeah.
His main goal in this issue. He was deposing warlords, feeding the people, scaring the shit out of the United Nations because there is a guy who is not a part of
any
government.
Get closer to your receiver. Get closer to your receiver. You're breaking up really bad.
Oh, sorry. I was trying to get food.
That'll show you.
He's
fatty.
He's running roughshod over Africa and trying to improve Africa, and they are all terrified of this. He met with the African
it's or something.
It was basically like the all the African countries getting together to meet with him. And he basically said, we're taking over.
Nice.
They technically, I don't think any of them were technically there. They had their military people, but the actual leaders, I don't think were actually there.
Well, wouldn't a lot of the leaders be military people because it's Africa?
Yeah, a lot of them, but not all of them. Yeah.
So.
Apparently they're going to build a space elevator in the middle of a continent as a means to transport goods and disperse it throughout the continent.
Also, it will turn Africa into a economic superpower. Because,
heading that way anyways.
People will want to use this thing, and therefore it will get built up around it, and there will be more capitalism running wild.
Well,
brother,
that's kind of where it's headed now in real life anyways. They've got too many freaking resources. It's going to end up there anyways, eventually.
Oh, there have been resources there forever, but it's also a giant shithole with no real control anywhere. Except guys with guns genociding and raping everyone.
Well, there's countries that are stable. It's not, you know, Africa isn't a country, it's a continent. Granted, a lot of them are, you know.
Shitholes.
Yeah.
You could say that. It's a factual. No, it's a factual statement.
I'm sure the people there would agree.
Yeah, I'm sure the people in Africa aren't like, oh man, I really love my family getting raped in front of me and everyone I know having AIDS. It's great.
I love the genocide.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing about my continent.
You haven't been?
Yeah, but Harada's cleaning up Africa, so.
Good for
him. And forces are working against him.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much it.
Harada wasn't overly evil in this because he's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Because he's basically taking over a continent.
But it's
and they
it's
didn't
for
really
a good
discuss
purpose.
What's going on with, like, you know, Egypt or, you know, countries that have some form of power. They're probably scared too, but he wasn't messing with them. He was more in, like, you know, Central Africa.
He puts the rain down in Africa.
Wild dogs cry out in the night. Stay go restless, longing for some solitary company.
Are you going to challenge our listeners to look up those lyrics and try to figure out what they mean?
They know. They don't mean anything. solitary company?
God, I don't know.
Song's amazing.
What am I, the Pope?
This book was good.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our next segment, Book of the Week.
Oh, no, wait. Hold up. We missed a book.
We did?
Yes, Darth Vader.
What was it? What book did we miss? What?
Darth Vader number 10.
Didn't we did that already, dude.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. I have my list out.
Okay, because I usually delete my notes when we review something, and I haven't deleted it.
Okay, you want to do a Darth Vader review, and I could just edit. Dude, I don't have time. We did Vader.
I don't think we ever did it, man.
Okay, then let's do Vader again.
I don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
We last left Dr. Aphra. She was headed to Naboo to visit a mortician, and apparently she's working for Vader. They wanted the mortician who oversaw Padme. He was able to confirm to them that she did in fact have a son, and now Vader is convinced that Luke is his son.
Didn't he already find out that Luke was his son issues prior when he found out what his last name was?
He thought he was. He wasn't sure, but he thought he was because of the I guess the Force.
But then didn't he straight up point blank ask the Emperor?
I don't remember that part.
I recently went back and read one of that specific issue of Vader because I wanted to recommend one of the Star Wars comics to one of my coworkers, and I went back and I read that issue of Vader because I remember liking it. And then not only does he find out the name from Boba Fett, but then he confronts the Emperor. He said, "Did Anakin have a son?" And he's all, "Yes."
Hmm. Then I don't know why he needed further confirmation then. Unless he felt maybe that the Emperor was manipulating him.
Well, yeah, this is something that, you know, even in this, that issue I read, that obviously, you know, because he's still the apprentice of Palpatine, he has some kind of, you know, some kind of begrudging respect, but at the same time, he's doing all these things behind his back and not telling him the entire truth. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, gentlemen, books for Book of the Week.
Starve.
I'm going to disagree and go Secret Wars.
Okay, I can't complain with that pick.
All right, let's pick next week's books before Lero's headset dies.
Or how
happy I didn't use the Tom Petty song.
Yes. Okay, me and Fat Man have War Stories 13, new storyline starting. This one is, it's World War II again, but it's Pacific Theater, and it is about the fighter pilots who escorted the bombers, apparently.
Okay, cool. And I'm going to let
you
review Batman.
Sounds really dangerous, actually, in the write-up. Okay. Let's see.
I skipped ahead for the stuff on lightning rounding. I'm also going to lightning round east to west.
Okay. What's going on in DC? We have Justice League of America, number 4. Oh, that is... Superman, Lois, and Clark, number 1 is out. Can I convince you guys to try to read this?
Let's see how many books we got, and it sounds like a book. At least I'll give it a try to. So
that's Dan Jurgens. He's often good.
Okay, I'll put that tentatively on the list, but we have like 50 books. I'm not reading that.
We're not gonna have 50 books. Okay. Da-da-da. Looking. Walking Dead, 147.
Walking Dead.
A-Force, number 5.
God, that thing still isn't done?
it's probably the last issue.
Yeah, my interest in that book has completely dissipated.
You want to not read it?
No, I'll read it. It's at least something I'll read until the Secret War stuff is over, and then once we go into the regular series, I may give it another try, but with that said... Both me and Marvel, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, but I'm not too keen on this A-Force book.
Okay. Captain America, Sam Wilson, number 1. Nick Spencer.
Ooh, I'm reading it.
Oh, by the way, Captain America White, which we aren't reading.
I actually read the first 2 issues.
How was it?
It's getting very good reviews.
No, it's not bad. I read the first 2 issues. I just haven't reviewed it or lightning.
So apparently Jeff Loeb needs that Tim Sal guy to do a good comic.
Does issue 3 come out next week?
Issue 3 next
Do we want to give it a try?
I'd have to read.
Do we have to, Marvel? Does it come off as something that we should read the first 2 issues on, or can we probably go into issue 3 cold?
It's a 5-issue series.
Yeah, you probably need to read from the beginning.
Tentatively put it down.
Okay.
Chewbacca, number 1.
Hard selling this one.
It's Duggan.
Chewbacca is the best.
You were the guy who was putting Duggan over the other day.
Yeah. And I kept Civil War number 5. Going,
ho!
Civil War number 5? Oh, yeah, the,
Probably be the last one.
Okay.
You fool!
I was thinking Secret Wars for a second.
Guardians of the Galaxy, number 1.
Relaunch?
Journey to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire, number 3.
Quick?
Yeah, they are getting that out quick. For me and Fat Man, Marvel Zombies, number 4.
Hooray!
The end, I believe.
The sleeper hit from Secret Wars.
Miss Marvel 19.
Huh, they kept the original, numbering.
It hasn't relaunched yet.
New Avengers number 1, the first New Avengers book to get canceled, my prediction.
I'll read it because it's gonna have, heel read, so I'll read it for that.
So are we still reading Spider-Gwen? Because it's got a new number 1.
Oh, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Spider-Man 2099, number 1.
Yay!
Same creative team. Uncanny Avengers, number 1.
Ho!
And...
Anything from... I'm sure there's... Ninjak.
Ninjak?
Number 8.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a ton.
Let's see, let me count
everything.
Let me count these up. Come on. What the hell? I'm gonna let me do that thing where it does the number. Forget it, I'll just count it myself. Can't count on technology to do anything right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 if you include that Superman, Lois, and Clark book.
I want to include that because we're reading a lot of new Marvel, so I want to mix in some DC.
Okay, and then I'll be doing Batman and East to West. For me, that's going to be 16. That's still not that bad considering what we had, this week? It was like 26, 25, 24?
It was a lot. Yeah, it's
but when you split it into two shows.
Shh, they don't know that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What we did was we recorded it Saturday night, but because I got home so late, we just decided we're going to put a pin in it.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, you fell asleep, and both me and Marvel were tired because it was already like 1 a.m. on their coast. And I was like, can we just like do this on Monday? So right now it's Monday. I'm going to edit this show up tomorrow, and it'll be up by – you'll all be listening to this on Wednesday, so it all comes out the same to you. So what do you care? Get off my back. You're not my boss.
I'm your father. At least your mom was yelling daddy at me last night.
Oh!
Nice.
That seems like a high spot to end the show on.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios!